Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, Browns fans? It's Jonathan here, listening from New York. And guys, are listening to Dog Podcast. Let's kick this thing off.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Zach Kopp, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Dogs. We're always looking for more fan intros, so head to thedogspodcast.com to leave us a voicemail. You just go to thedogspodcast.com, hit the drop-down menu, and tap the voicemail, record it right into your phone. Super easy, get your intro on the show. Today we have a special guest, Chad Brillante from ESPN Radio out of Pensacola will be joining us. Before we get into all of that, remember to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Please subscribe on YouTube. Make sure you click the notification bell so you never miss a new episode. You can also find us on Apple, Spotify, Google. Just another reminder, we started a TikTok. We're joining the young man's game. You can find us on TikTok. I almost called it Tic Tac. We also just started a Patreon page. So if you're interested in that, just go to thedogspodcast.com and click join the dogs in the drop-down menu. The stuff we usually put out's on there early. We got some exclusive content we're going to be adding to that. So if you're interested in that, it's just all Browns fans, check out our Patreon page. Also, you can still continue to vote for what you think the Browns record is going to be. Just go to thedogpodcast.com/schedule. Vote on the 2021 Browns record. Just go game by game pick. Do we have a quick update or no?
Quick update. And I'm pulling this from memory, but it was 14-3.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's still the Chiefs, the first Ravens game, and then the Packers.
Okay.
Or the three losses.
Get your votes in. We're going to keep that up until, you know, through training camp, up until the preseason. So without further ado, we'd like to bring Chad Brillante into the show. We promised this, you know, I think a few weeks ago, and then we had some technical difficulties, then vacations, so it kind of got put on hold. But, hey, we made it happen. Thanks for being with us today.
No, guys, appreciate it. Looking forward to it. We're, you know, like one Johnny Manziel hangover from football season.
That's a crazy hangover.
Yeah. We're excited. Half of college football isn't even the game. I mean, I think a lot of like the teams we cover down here with Alabama, Florida, Florida State, Auburn, LSU, you don't even have to make it in to the stadium. And it's you're like, man, that was one of the best college football games I ever was at.
From what I remember.
Yep.
You go missing and they find you 3 days later in a New York nightclub.
Best weekend ever.
So we got some questions lined up for you. We got it kind of broken up a little bit about, you know, kind of some Brown specific and then some more general league questions. Some more modern, you know, news right now with the Browns and with the Dolphins, you know, kind of down in your area. There's been a lot of talk about Xavier Howard wanting out of Miami. What are you hearing on that front?
Well, I think right now with Miami, they're building around their defense, and you can see that. Flores came in, he learned the Bill Belichick ways in New England, and he's brought that mentality. You saw that with Mike Vrabel and what he brought to the table in Tennessee, and you're seeing the same stuff. They're just a physically team that's going to beat you up, but I don't think they're going to get rid of him just based on he might be unhappy, but it seems like Aaron Rodgers has been unhappy now for what, 20 years? So sometimes we just, a lot of these guys, once the season gets closer, I think he'll stay. Him and Jones back there really was a huge part of their success. And he led the league, probably half from Jameis Winston in one game, but led the league in overall turnovers. And I think he can do it again. So I think that'd be a good play, but Cleveland spent a lot of money in the secondary this year. And to add a piece like that is going to be expensive because, you know, his price is not cheap right now.
Worst case scenario for the Dolphins, if they were to try to part, I've been seeing like a second, a fourth and greedy. Do you think that's realistic or you think it's going to take more than that? I've been hearing, you know, they might demand a first.
I think it would have to be a first, and they know that. I mean, right now they would be, to me, they'd be stupid if they didn't, because right now Howard is produced, and guys in the secondary, you can see sometimes you pay a guy and he doesn't show up. You know, I saw a stat the other day that Vince Wilfork has double the amount of interceptions that Jamal Adams has in his career, but you're not going to hear that too many places when you look at that paycheck. So a lot of times people are going to look at a guy in the secondary, and once you pay him, you might not get the results. There's a few guys out there like Jalen Ramsey that usually show up, but you know, we don't like him that much anyway. So let's move on from that question.
Well, I guess we'll kind of see what unfolds on that front. I'm kind of with you. I don't see him leaving, but you know, it seems like every offseason somebody gets mad and then they kind of get over it. So we'll see how it goes.
You're in Miami. You have a lot of things to move on, you know, just to,
yeah, and there's, there's no income tax down there, right?
No. And well, half the people, I'm not sure 100% are even from this country. When Miami, see, the more south you get, the truth of the matter is the more south you get in Florida, the less real south it becomes. You know, the Wrangler type commercials with the Golden Retriever in the back of the pickup truck. That's more of this area. Don't let the hair fool you. But then on the other side, down south, yes, it's more of the, you know, you see a lot of the salsa, Latin. I grew up down there in a beautiful area and love the beaches. So.
Awesome. Nice. No income tax would be enough for me to go down.
You know, answer your question. No, I just completely went like that to that question. I don't know income tax.
That's all right. Well, hey, Josh, why don't we let you ask this one? Because, you know, Baker, you're a big Baker guy. So,
yeah. Okay. So we wanted to get kind of an outsider's perspective on this. And I just want to see exactly how we. So what would your view be of Baker Mayfield from your outsider perspective? Is he like a franchise QB that we think he is? Or, I mean, what do you think?
I think there's a couple things. When John Dorsey was the one that interviewed him at the time, correct? When he was the general manager?
Yeah.
Okay. So when he interviewed, he talked about, there was a couple guys even, and you guys probably all know this. It's like, yeah, we do this for a living. But when it comes down to it, he was talking about how there was guys that had better overall ratings when it came to, if you took something like a Madden number from guys like Josh Allen. But when he talked to Baker Mayfield, he had that it factor. And I think you see that he had a couple bad games. He started off hot when he came in for half the season as a rookie. Then all of a sudden he starts to fade back. He comes back with a really good season last year where, you know, Cleveland had a number of opportunities. I'm with y'all. I'm not a Cleveland Brown fan, but still you got screwed and helmet to helmet. Something's got to change in that. The playoffs. I mean, it's atrocious that a team can get that far and has been waiting for so long and for something like that to happen, because you can review everything. And, you know, sometimes these refs will trot their ass over there for, you know, 30 minutes and look under this thing like they're ordering Chinese, but they can't. I mean, you can't review something that's so obvious.
Yes.
I thought, yeah, they've got to change that rule. But to get back to Baker, I think he's going to be somebody that is always going to try hard. He's embracing the city commercials. The more relevant you are in that jersey, the more it plays a part in saying, I want to be with that city. I mean, there's a contract in basketball, Markieff Morris, I think, it probably wasn't a huge contract or pizza budget, but he couldn't leave the city because he had a commercial. So he couldn't get traded. He was like in New Orleans, he was wanting to leave. And they're like, no, you gotta fly back here and do our pizza commercials. And he's like, well, I'm not going to get traded then. So I think he's going to be here for a while. And I like Mayfield. I just think he's in a time right now of a ton of good young quarterbacks that are coming up. If you look at Justin Herbert, if you look at Joe Burrow, who is going to be around, and I know that it's not something you guys want to hear about unless it's another injury, but when it comes down to guys that we see, even like Josh Allen, who grew up before our eyes, Patrick Mahomes is obviously a talent. I sometimes get in the way when people are like, oh, you saw what he did in the Super Bowl. I was like, okay, guy's been in as a starter 3 years, and he's made 3 AFC title games and been to 2 Super Bowls. Like, I'm sorry, where are we setting the bar now? I mean, like, what else do you want from this guy? But there's just so many good young quarterbacks. So Baker Mayfield, to answer your question, I would say I do think highly of him. I think he's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type guy. He'll have a great game, and then he'll have that game against the New York Jets where you're watching – and I'm looking and saying, why the hell would I start him on my fantasy football team? So those kind of things are, there's good days and bad days when it comes to Baker, but I think there's going to be more good ahead.
Well, that's funny you say that because I remember that Jets game. I had Baker in my fantasy lineup, and the night before it said all the wide receivers on the roster are out for tomorrow's game. I'm like, well, he's out of my lineup. Right. Who's he going to throw?
Yeah, that doesn't help. Yeah,
no, it doesn't help at all.
I will say, of all the good young quarterbacks that have come into the league the last couple of years, and I don't know if any quarterback has faced more of an uphill climb than Baker. Maybe I'm biased, but to take over a 1-31 team in what is arguably one of the toughest divisions in football, and basically a franchise that's just been turmoil for 20 plus years, to all of a sudden have them as playoff contenders and even Super Bowl contenders. I mean, I get he might not be a top 3-5 quarterback, but I think he's a guy that's worth hitching the wagon to.
But he can. I mean, sometimes people don't. You look at a guy and there's no way, like Taysom Hill down here, a lot of Saints fans in this area, but Taysom Hill, he can only do so much as a everyday quarterback. He doesn't, I mean, he threw 55% when he was at BYU. Baker Mayfield showed that, you know, he went from an Uber driver at Texas Tech in intramural football to going to a national title, I mean, or a college football playoff, to going and winning the Heisman Trophy and then being the number one pick. People like that have success rates like that, you sort of want to get out of their way. I mean, because he's obviously proven that he's done it against other people telling him throughout his career that he couldn't. And look, I mean, the progress, like you said, one win from the Hugh Jackson era, and who was only good to come down here for the Senior Bowl and visit us. But when it comes down to everything with Baker, I think there is a lot of good, but that division is so brutal. I mean, especially with Burrow healthy and, you know, Big Ben, if he, we'll see which Big Ben shows up, and who knows at this point. Just keep him out of the bars down here in Georgia. So,
shots fired. So we have an ongoing beef, I would say, with Ravens fans, you know, from day to day, week to week, every time we do an episode. So if you had to pick a guy to be your quarterback right now for the next 10 years, would you pick Baker Mayfield or would you go with Lamar Jackson?
Keep in mind before you answer, if you say Lamar, we're going to be super mad and yell at you. And if you say Baker, YouTube's going to chew you out.
One of the shows that we have down here is a former Buffalo Bills coach, Kay Stevenson, and he actually just calls him. I mean, he's in that area. He's almost 80 years old, so he thinks differently. But he's like, nah, he's a running back. I'm like, okay, well, sure. You know, like he's, but he just can't get it through his head that, you know, he can throw the ball. I'm going with Baker for a lot of reasons. If Lamar Jackson survives 10 years playing the way he does, playing Frogger out there, then I mean, honestly, at this point, we'd all be shocked. You don't want to see it happen, but if you look at the track record of Robert Griffin III or Michael Vick before he was barking up the wrong tree, if you know what I mean, but everything with what's going on, I think we understand that. This is a guy that he has to stop. And you cannot do that for your whole career. Even the Steve Youngs and Andrew Lux, the hits that they take, you don't want to wish it on anyone, even though I'm sure some of your fans. Oh,
yeah. I'm wishing it, bro. I'll be that guy.
Who's that guy? Yeah. But that Heisman, whatever they had back there with RG3 and Mark Ingram, that's fine. Just get rid of the other piece. But I think I would rather have Baker Mayfield, not by a lot. I mean, the guy won an MVP, so I'm not going to diss and act like I haven't seen his talents. And once he gets rolling, there's nobody in the field that can catch him. You know, what him and Tyreek Hill do on a football field is sometimes insane, making other fast people look like, and I don't know, you guys might be a little faster, but like us. So
I'm not fast.
Y'all can concur.
That's we're not scooting around anywhere real quick.
Blake is by far the fastest one of all of us. And
his head knee surgery not too long ago.
My argument with when I argue with Ravens fans, which is all the time because they're the biggest fans of our show, I think he's a very dynamic, extremely good player. By no means do I think he's a bad player at all. I just say he's not an elite level thrower of the football, and that gets them so riled up they just can't believe it because, you know, he had a 65% completion percentage, so he's John Elway. It's just they cannot fathom the fact that I don't think he's an elite level thrower. Now, because he runs so well and he's so dynamic, people are wide open. He can throw a duck 30 yards and they'll catch it and it looks like a good throw. But I don't trust him to sit in the pocket and make 30 throws outside the numbers day in and day out and be good at it.
What is he? And he's what, 1-3 in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, that's right.
That's the thing is people don't understand. And, you know, at this point in the show, this is where maybe like my screen or somebody comes in and pushes me out of the way when I admit this. But, you know, being from Boston, I'm a Patriot fan. So I'm not going to talk like this. But yeah, all of a sudden, like, all right, whatever single person might have liked this interview now is like, get him out of here. But I could have dressed like our quarterback and wore a Mary Poppins uniform here today, but I did not. So it's something that you look at right now. And I think with Lamar Jackson, that stat, watching guys like Tom Brady or watching certain quarterbacks that get better in the playoffs, Lamar Jackson, even the game they won against Tennessee, it wasn't like he wowed the crowd. He made one first down at the end, but it was more of a defensive grind the entire game. And I think in that game that he played against the Chargers, I mean, Gus Bradley brought a really innovative defensive scheme, and there was nothing he could do. He had negative yards in his first game. By the end of the third quarter, negative yards overall. But I think it's something that you look at Lamar Jackson, and until he proves that he can get through that, because some quarterbacks just need the time and they finally find it. But right now, a good defensive scheme and game planning for him can shut him down, because if you can guard the guys and contain them easier than a guy that can throw it deep like a Josh Allen or a player like Patrick Mahomes. And Baker Mayfield scrambles around making plays as well, but is a way better thrower. So, yeah, I mean, Lamar's got to prove himself in the playoffs before he gets a lot of credit from me as an elite type quarterback in my mind.
That's what we like to hear.
Yeah, because Baker, didn't he win his first playoff game?
He did.
Right. At one point, he was 1-0. 100% win percentage in the playoffs.
Right. Yeah, so we're a few months now removed from the draft. And Cleveland, you know, it's been kind of talked about that they hit on maybe one of the biggest steals in the draft. Kind of getting your thoughts on JOK. Did you think he'd go in the first round? Were you surprised he fell into the second? And what do you kind of think of him as a player?
Well, you know, I think one of the things is when you look right now at a team like Cleveland, there was a lot of different, like, they spent a lot of money in the offseason when it came to the secondary. And, you know, the wide receiving core, it's been one of these that it's been all over the place. But having the opportunity, and what pick was it again? Do you remember 50 when?
52.
52, I think.
Yep.
52nd overall pick. Okay, because I want to make sure that, yeah, I think it's something that a lot of Browns fans, they looked at the opportunity to get the guy, and they really, at that point, so that was your first overall pick?
Second.
It would have been our second round. So first overall, we took the cornerback Newsome. And we were kind of, you know, we did a live show. We were kind of high on JOK at that pick at 26. We thought that he was going to be taken even before we got there. And then all of a sudden, you know, there were some things that came out about him with his heart issues, and teams kind of stayed away from him. And getting him at 52, I mean, we were shocked to, you know, get him on day two of the draft.
Well, I mean, I think the only reason why you look and say the possibility of him not going higher is his size. It's sort of that hybrid size. But today, people have proven that. I mean, maybe the best player on defense, he's very underrated, even though he's still a superstar, is watching Darius Leonard play for Indianapolis. I mean, that guy, but he was 220 pounds, and a lot of people said that he wasn't going to start. And look, I mean, he's everywhere on the field, and he's going to be around, you know, the AFC for a while, and that's scary for everybody. But I see that the possibility in the same way, because, you know, you talk about Notre Dame and watching them play, and I think a lot of people understand that when a guy stands out almost on every play on defense, he's got to be something. You know, like the Zach Thomases of the world, the Luke Kuechlys, there's those guys that are always around the ball, and he's been one of those kind of guys for a while. So I think, yeah, it's definitely a steal, because he was ranked, I think, in the top 20 overall players, and to go that far down is really a steal. And Cleveland's done a heck of a job over the last couple of years, to me, in the general management department. And they're making moves, and the sad part is there's the amount of money on some of the biggest names are the ones that haven't come through, where some of the guys like Taylor on the offensive line or Trotter, and these guys have stepped up and become what is maybe top three offensive lines in the NFL now. So it's I think it's going to be really, really intriguing to see a lot of the money they spent on guys like Johnson from over the Rams, because he's another guy, high value, didn't have to spend as much, although they did fork up a little. But talking about the opportunity to bring a guy like that, that might not be a household name yet, but if you watch him play, he was ranked in the top five in almost every statistical category in his department. So, and he's going after the best defense, but yeah, I think he's going to fit in right away and play.
Yeah. I think we're kind of we agree with you that we think that he's going to be a key player on their defense that was very lackluster last year. So we're definitely looking forward to that coming training camp, going into preseason.
And I don't know enough about Greg Newsom to talk and say that, you know, I know everything about him. I did watch Northwestern have a really good defense, and learning under Pat Fitzgerald, you know, that mentality is going to carry over. I mean, they're not going to go after a guy like that unless you know for a fact that, and a lot of you have probably seen it more being, you know, towards the Midwest more than a lot of people down here, but Northwestern, yeah, had one of the better defenses last year. And so I'm not going to act like I know a ton about Newsom, but if from just that alone, if you're one of the best defense players on one of the best defenses, and it's pretty good.
Right. Yeah, I'd say if Newsom played at Alabama, people would have talked about him as a top 15 pick. So this was a question we had, you know, when we were going to do this about a month ago. I've been on the side where I said, if you took this roster and called them the Packers, or you called them the Chiefs or the Steelers, people would be picking us to go 15-2 or something crazy. But because we're the Browns, we're still catching a lot of hate. Well, Marcus Spears actually came on ESPN and said that he thought we had the best roster on paper in the AFC. Is that something you agree with, or do you think that's a stretch?
Well, I mean, I think it's – you look at Kansas City, who was the bar last year in the AFC, and – Cleveland was really a couple plays. I know the injury at the end of the game, but still, they played with them. They proved it last year. Pittsburgh's only getting older. Cincinnati's not ready yet. They have too many holes. And Baltimore, they're sneaky. And as you guys know, like, I don't know how to say it. Like, when they looked last year like they were awful, and then all of a sudden you flip the switch and they're like the best team. And it's like that's so you never know who's going to show up on a daily basis, but they've got a good roster as well. I got to say, I know New England's made a lot of moving pieces outside of the quarterback, but watching Cam Newton play last year, I mean, at this point, I mean, the words to keep this family without going George Carlin on everybody, I don't want to. There's nothing I can say good. I mean, he can't complete the 5-yard screen pass right now. Like a kid in the yard, if we were at like Thanksgiving and just throwing the pigskin, and like Cam had the ball and my daughter was like 10 feet away, I'd be like, all right, honey. And like, stay away from the road. And she's like, we're not near the road. Be like, that's where the ball's about to go. It's just bad. Mac Jones will be starting soon enough. Bill Belichick's only got so many of those faces before he's off the side. I mean, but he did have COVID last year. I mean, I'll give him a chance because we've seen the good of Cam Newton. But for a team like Cleveland to get back to the rosters, I would say yes. I think that they have at least a top 3 or 4 roster in the AFC for sure. And I think top 5 overall. I mean, the complete roster, the moves they made in the offseason, I like them as a top 5. And Nick Chubb is just, I mean, he's really good.
Yes, he is.
Where would you rank Nick Chubb, you know, as far as running backs in the league?
Getting off script here a little bit. I don't know if you saw LaDainian Tomlinson put a list down, didn't even have him in the top 5.
Well, I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson maybe took more hits than we thought then from learning without running the field walking in front of him. I don't know what to say. I mean, some of these guys, Chris Sims made a comment that Kyler Murray is 3 spots ahead of right now Tom Brady in his quarterback ranking. And I was like, okay, at this point, I just like, well, we're done here. Like, maybe he had more concussions, but you have a guy that can't like even get a screen pass, but he's 3 spots ahead of the guy that just last year had 50 touchdowns and won the Super Bowl in his first year with that team. I'm going to have to pass on that, but I think it's, I would say, Nick Chubb to me is a top 5 running back. I think, and look at it too. I mean, how many people have another guy like Hunt who would be starting on about 25 teams in the NFL, and they had to split the bulk of the work in a lot of ways. It was more, I mean, obviously it was more Chubb, but still, if And most teams don't have that. So they would get more carries if they're the elite running back. And I think when he does run, the breakaway speed, yeah. We got the other half of Georgia down here, but we'll take Chubb, and you guys can have Michelle if you want to, like, switch it around.
No, I think we're good on that one.
I think I saw his reason for Chubb not being top five was he said he didn't have breakaway speed, which tells me he's never watched a Browns game.
Yeah.
And then
Does he have more long touchdowns than any running back in the last couple of years? Yeah. I mean, it feels that way.
And I know he averages.
I'm basing that on no statistical. No, I'm just for right. Does that sound good, guys?
Great.
It seems like he's always breaking away a touchdown.
And I know I think he averaged 10 yards a carry in the fourth quarter. And other than carries and yards, he's basically number one in every other statistical category over Derrick Henry. Just Derrick Henry gets so many carries.
Yeah, I think if he had like Derrick Henry or Dalvin Cook's workload, Nick Chubb mm-hmm. would be a top three easy.
He'd be a 2,000-yard running back probably.
Yeah. We'd be talking about him and Derrick Henry.
Well, I mean, he was neck and neck with Henry 2 years ago.
Yeah. Until Freddie screwed him out of the rushing title.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we don't like to talk about Freddie Kitchens on this show. You come
up with like a he who must not be named thing for him.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So we'll kind of transition into, you know, some more general league questions here. With the addition of the, you know, the extra game, how do you think that's going to impact teams in the league? And do you think the NFL is going to do anything as far as records? Or, I mean, you know, the season has gotten longer before, and I don't think they've done anything. So do you think, you know, how will the extra game affect the record books?
I think it's, I mean, the stats are going to obviously be a little bit different, but at one point, remember, it was 14 game season because I have to watch Mercury Morris every single time get up there and do that stupid dance in front of the Patriots not having a perfect season and popping the bottle. So the 72 Dolphins only had to win 14 and then they won three after that. But it changes. I had to point that out to everybody, but just make sure everyone got that. But when it comes down to it, I think it's not going to affect them as much. These guys, they're all capable of going out there, one less preseason game and whatever they have to do to shuffle it up. But it's, I think we start a lot of times today just because the media likes to jump on things. They get real over the top on things. These guys are all capable of playing one more football game. I mean, if it's the playoffs, nobody ever says like, oh, bless their hearts. They got one more game till the Super Bowl. You know, they all want to play. If they, you know, they would have, if Kansas City and Tampa had to win a 2-game series, they would have been out there the next Sunday and had a chance. But I don't think it's going to affect people as much. The stats will be a little bit different, but half these guys are getting hurt before a full 16 game schedule before anyway. So, you know, the Christian McCaffrey and the Alvin Kamara stats, a lot of them are already skewed when it comes to that. So I don't know if it's going to change a lot, but it will get a little adjusting and people are going to, showboat that, you know, receivers are going to be like 101 reception chains when maybe they only had 96, but it wouldn't look as cool in gold. You know?
So when we were coming up with these questions list, you know, Julio hadn't been traded yet, and we were going to ask you what you thought his trade value was. Well, now we know. So my question now is, what do you think his impact is on the Titans? Does he elevate them to, you know, are they unstoppable?
Well, he went to a team where he doesn't have to be everything, and they're not depending on him to be everything. It's still Derrick Henry's team, and, you know, their mentality is to hit you. I mean, Mike Vrabel, physical grind. Now, see, they have the players, and it seems like the scheme. Dan Campbell seems like he wants to eat somebody, but the difference is they're the worst roster maybe in the NFL, so he's like, we're going to get you. And then the guy in the corner, you know, in this fight, you know, just like, David, keep walking, like Goliath. I mean, you got to give him an A for effort. It's like the kid that keeps running back in there to fight the guy 5 feet taller and keeps pushing him back. But I think it's something where for a team that when you see the opportunity for Julio Jones, he doesn't have to be everything. Where in Atlanta, I think Matt Ryan just, I mean, I don't think they were ever the same after that amazing catch in the Super Bowl that I think I broke a chair watching. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, they go backwards twice, which there's just some things that are unacceptable to me, like in sports, like you just like hitting a home run and missing a base, something like that. You know, those things you can't do. And Atlanta ruined that game. And Julio Jones should be going down as a hero for that catch on the sidelines. And instead, they ruined that moment. I don't think the chemistry was ever the same after that. But Julio, he's a little bit older, but he's still got some wheels, and he's on a contender now. I think he jumped up a page onto a contending team compared to because as much as your division is going to be tough, the South is going to be that bad. So when it comes to the AFC South, that is an awful division.
Well, I'm going to skip over one here real quick since you mentioned the AFC South. Let's talk about Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. What's your take on Urban Meyer, you know, transitioning from, well, not straight from the college game, you know, from the college game to the booth to the NFL? How do you think he's going to do?
Well, I don't think his granddaughters are old enough to play volleyball. So if they start losing, he can't get out yet. But right. when it comes down here, my dad's a Florida Gator alumni, and we're watching at this Thai restaurant, and he looks up at the screen and Urban's gone. And it said health issues, which anybody that has health issues, you never want to, you know, take that and call somebody out. It's just not a good look. And at the same time, though, like to see him a week later, he's out there on ESPN with the tie and he's like, hey, I'm like, thought you left because of health issues, or was it because Tim Tebow left and you didn't have a backup plan? But I think, you know, in Ohio State, there's the good and the bads. And he's like, honestly, he's that girl that you know is crazy, but she's so hot. You're like, I have to date her. Like it's like one of these that, like, you know, coming in that house, like, man, I want to go grab a beer with the guys. I don't want to be here. She makes you watch these wedding shows, but you're like, but look, you know, and that's Urban Meyer. It's like you want to hate him. I know Ohio State fans do, people at Florida, but then all those winning ways, he gave championships. And you know, without, there's only two or three people out there in this world that could do what Urban Meyer did. And Nick Saban's down here, and people look at that, but then there's the baggage that comes with it. You know, the 2 weeks of having to talk about it when he might have knew about a coach that was abusing his ex-wife at the time. And I don't know. There was the most report on arrest when it came down to Florida at 33, but to get to Jacksonville, his success, he's got a young team and there is a lot of talent on that roster, but it's also raw. I mean, it's a lot of these guys, they've never proven anything in the NFL. And for people, if they want to correlate what you see in college, the NFL, that's never worked. I mean, ask a sixth rounder from Michigan or, you know, other people like that. So it doesn't always work out that way because, you know, Tim Couch probably is not signing as many autographs in Cleveland these days. That's right. Right.
Hey, time heals all wounds. I love Tim Couch now.
Brandon Wheaton is now, at least he just got his AARP card in the mail. So
time now? Hasn't healed Jeez. That wound yet.
Yeah, not that one.
He's still not welcome back.
Is he still under the flag? Is there, are we still not? Just,
I was at that game.
That's such a horrible movie.
I've been at some real bad ones, but I'll take it to back to the AFC North. And a team that I don't particularly like at all. But how do you think the Steelers will perform in 2021? Do you think the offensive line is better? And do you think Big Ben will play at high enough level for 17 games?
No, I do not.
Yeah, I feel you, dog. Right. I feel everything Love you're it. Saying.
Yeah. They were like that, whatever, you know, when people said, what the blank is Deutschcoin or something like that. They were that last year. Like, all of a sudden, these people are buying houses off of it at 11-0. Like, where did this come from? And then then everybody starts to watch them. And you're like, okay, if you could find the game. We couldn't even get the game against Washington where they lost down here. They just literally did not have the game on because it was on a Wednesday. But it was we were watching, you know, that team, and you go, this team's not that good. And then you guys just dismantled them at the end, which was awesome. I mean, it was to watch that, and Steeler fans take over every bar. So I know your hatred to them. Like, my friend's about 6'9", 270 pounds, and he's a Miami Dolphin fan. And he goes to a place in Orlando, Florida, where I went to college at UCF, and we just claim all your titles anyway, so it doesn't matter. But when it comes down to it, it's something where we're sitting there in Orlando, Florida, and he's trying to watch the Dolphins, and the whole bar is like, no, we don't turn it from the Steelers. And he's like, are you serious? It's not like, it's not supposed to happen in Florida, but they take over, and you know, they really don't care what anyone else thinks, and let them know. And they hate Patriot fans just as much. You know, we've always hated them, but when it comes down to it, I think that they're not going to be as good this year. They just, and the offensive line, how can you be as good when you lose the value of names like Pouncey and DeCastro and Villanueva? I mean, these guys, those guys were Pro Bowlers borderline for a long time, getting older. I mean, maybe some of these young guys can step in, but no, I think they're trending. They're not going to fade away. Their defense is way too good with guys like Fitzpatrick or Bud Dupree. I mean, they've got players all over Devin Bush, but I don't see any better this year than a 10-7, 9-8 at best. That's where I see them this year.
Speaking of the Steelers taking over, they took over Zach's house.
Yeah, my wife's a Steelers fan. Yeah. My wife's like literally every fan that I would hate is what my wife is. She likes the Yankees, and I'm an Indians fan. She likes the Yankees, so I've been there. Went to the playoff game a few years ago, and the Yankees beat us in Game 5. We were there. She's an Alabama fan, which doesn't bode well in the household either. I'm not an Ohio State fan. I'm an Oklahoma fan. So I was a Baker fan before he was in Cleveland. So,
I said an Alabama fan. Tile the back wall here. He's a grad. He said it was finished. I don't know.
Right. Talking about a quarterback, obviously, that you've watched over the years, being a fan of the New England Patriots. Now he's in Tampa Bay, Tom Brady. How many years do you think he's got left to play? I know that, you know, it's crazy. There's a report that came out and said he just played with a torn MCL
the whole
last
year.
Season. So, you know, I mean, what he's been able to do at his age, he hasn't showed, you know, any signs of really slowing down. So what do you think?
Well, I know up in Cleveland got some good restaurants and good places to eat, but maybe we all should try this kale crap. I don't know. I mean, I don't know, man, but whatever he's doing is working. And, you know, he's just one of those guys, you know, like no matter what you've done in life, there's always that guy. Like you work hard and you get a 2-story home and a brand new car. And then the guy next to it builds a 3-story home and buys one of those extended limos that you didn't even know people could just drive around on an everyday basis. But that's Tom Brady. I mean, he every time somebody thinks he can't, I mean, we have a lot of, there's the Tom Brady haters. There always are going to be out there just because he's so unathletic compared to some of the other elite quarterbacks. I mean, you look at Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson, and even a guy like Baker Mayfield, and they can create athletic plays. You know, memes are done of Tom Brady when he takes off, like in the Super Bowl against the Eagles, when he's like,
right.
And people get mad that like the greatest athlete of all time, maybe in sports is a guy that barely can, you know, run and hang out with his kids on a basketball court. But it's like one of these kind of things where I think I'm never going to say he can't do something because it was proven last year was a wake up call. The two teams in sports that nobody are ever going to feel bad for in football are Patriot fans and Alabama fans. Cause like nobody wants to hear their whining. No Cleveland fan wants to hear any crap from pretty much anybody when it comes to that, you know, but let alone a guy that's been like, oh, I'm sorry. You had what, 14 AFC title games in like 18 years. And you're complaining now, but your guy looks like the man in the yellow hat from Curious George coming into the games. But it just is one of these that I think overall, if you talk about Tom Brady, he had 50 touchdowns last year and he's still making plays. And the way that he got every player to come back for Tampa. I mean, when I say he, Bruce Arians, Bruce, the coach. Yeah. Uh-huh. But after that bye week, Tom Brady pretty much took over play calling and they went 9-0. I mean, that was the conversation down here. So, and they were like, yeah, we're going to change things up when he did the four here, and people started laughing at him, and you could see him probably like pondering like in the back, like, oh yeah, you all laughing at me. All right. And then they don't lose the rest of the year. But I think Tom Brady is, and until he proves that he's going to have a bad year, I'm expecting another Super Bowl probably. I mean, as sad as it is, it's hard to say that Tampa's not the favorite, even though a team like Kansas City or, you know, some of these other teams, you might look at the roster. But I think Tampa wins it again because I've seen it so many times in New England.
Let me jump in here real quick with a Patriots-related question since you're a Patriots fan. And we've done a couple segments on some shows about N'Keal Harry and whether or not he's worth trading for like a 6th-round pick or something, you know, former first-rounder. What's your take on N'Keal Harry? Real quick.
You can have him.
You're the only one, Josh.
Okay.
Josh, for some reason, would give up his firstborn child for N'Keal Harry. And the rest of us are like, you can just keep him.
Well, Josh, I mean, the guy has skill. And it's funny because probably ramble on, have these questions, and then it takes after 20 minutes I get to a short, simple question. But now for this one, nah, just take them. That's all I got.
Fair enough.
He's got talent, Josh, but I wouldn't. His route running, I mean, maybe playing with Cam Newton doesn't help, but he.
That didn't help anybody last year.
Yeah, but Baker Mayfield's not really the type of quarterback to me that is going to work for a N'Keal Harry. And what I mean is he needs a guy that's more of a systematic run to a spot, turn, the ball is going to be there, where Baker likes to create and get outside the pocket, make plays, that scramble mentality. So no, I don't think it'd be a good fit.
Yeah, me neither, Josh.
Okay, all right. I'll back it off.
So we'll wrap this up here. I got one more for you. You know, you're down there in Florida. There's a lot of talk in the offseason if the Dolphins should take another quarterback. Do you think Tua is the guy? Are they committed to him long term? Or do you think this is kind of a prove it year for him?
It's got to be a prove it year. I base everything on how I watch. I mean, and the cool part is we do a show at one of the Beef O'Brady's down here, and it's got like 50 screens in front. So I'm watching every game, and you know, what a tough gig on a Sunday, but when it comes down to it, more wings, please. But when it comes down to it, I'm not sold on him. I mean, ever since the injury, he's had some brutal injuries that really, and he doesn't have enough power and arm strength to me to create that throw. And I think there's a lot of stuff, what you saw with his knee, with his hips, with his shoulder. I mean, he's bruised up. You saw Andrew Luck. I mean, he tried everything he could to keep his career going. He just couldn't. And he was, I mean, he played behind a deplorable offensive line, and now it's one of the best in the league, but he's probably like, come on, dude. But when it comes down to Miami, no, they're a defense run first type team. They do have some weapons. They added a couple playmakers. Jaylen Waddle in the draft is, which personally, I think that Devontae Smith, people talk about his weight, but once again, basing on just what you watch, the guy in half, I mean, you Ohio State fans know another. I mean, watch. Oh, yeah. I mean, the way that he plays, who watches that guy and was like, oh, no, he's too small. I'm sorry. Like, that's like watching it like Spud Webb dunk a basketball and be like, he can't dunk. He's 5'7". Be like, dude just won the slam dunk contest. Be like, nah, he's too small. Like those people that just are narcissistic. They're not listening. Like, I don't understand why his weights get, if anything, that makes everybody else look like fools at 6'5", 250, because nobody could stop the guy. The guy literally had the best season we've ever seen from a wide receiver in a shortened season. And it was, he won the Heisman. I mean, So I think they should have gone with Smith. I think Philly actually got a decent move, which is rare for Philly. But when it comes down to something with Tua, I think he definitely has to prove it. He did not look great. The eye test, he did not pass it for most of the time. And the big game where Buffalo is supposed to be resting players and they get slaughtered. They don't just lose. The game for Miami fans that have seen Sage Rosenfels and Cleo Lemon at quarterback since Dan Marino, and they have a shot at the playoffs if they win the game at home and they just get crushed by Buffalo. And that was Tua's game. And Fitzpatrick had COVID, so they couldn't even put in the bearded one.
I think what's eye-opening, you see who the receivers were that he played with in college. I mean, he had Waddle, Smith,
Jerry Judy, Henry Ruggs.
Yep. Jerry Judy,
Henry Ruggs. Yeah.
He had legit. And
pretty decent offensive line too.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, he was supposed to be like the second coming of Jesus at quarterback. And I mean, who couldn't be a good quarterback at Alabama? Greg McElroy was a good quarterback at Alabama, you know?
And I'll keep this brief. I know you're like, yeah, right. This guy, but when it comes down to it, I would say he does deserve more time. To say anybody in half a season, and his record, I think, was 6-3 as a starter. So that has to be put into account, too. But like we said, they're definitely, if he doesn't have a good season, I think they're looking. That's the NFL today. If a guy's not working right away, you have to move on or you're going to be stuck back. You have to have a franchise quarterback. And Tua has not proven that yet. Herbert has proved it. Burrow looked like at the part, but his season was cut short. Tua still has to prove that he's there every day. But I think they made the right decision not drafting a quarterback this soon and giving him a chance.
I agree. I think a half a season is too soon to give up. A season and a half is, if you don't at least see something to give you hope, I think you got to move on.
Yeah, and getting rid of Fitzpatrick can only help, I think, his psyche. And nobody wants to play where every single pass they make, they feel they're looking behind them. Yeah. And I don't think the offense they ran really worked with what Tua did in college. They didn't do a spread, make him where they get guys open, where they can hit them quick. Tua wants to get almost like a Brady style, where it's spread out, the quick hitters, things like that. The over the top, he's got good accuracy. Last year's offense was built more around a run game, and the receivers weren't that good around him, so that did not help. But there was something uncomfortable with watching the offense. I mean, they won a lot of defensive type games, but he did not look great.
Well, hey, man, we'll get you out of here. We appreciate you being here with us today. That was awesome. Yeah. Hopefully we can do this again sometime. Hopefully we don't have to wait, you know, months and months to do it. Now that we got all the kinks worked out, we should be able to make it happen quicker. So thanks again for being with us. It was awesome.
No, thank you, guys. It's really appreciate it. Looking forward to the football season. And, you know, Cleveland got some loyal fans down here as well. And they always invite me, and they got some really good tailgate food. So
that's what we do. I didn't get this way by not eating. Oh, you have a good one, man.
You guys have a good one. Appreciate it, guys.
Yep. Later,
bro. All right, see ya.
Well, hey, I think that went pretty well. That was good. Chad was brillante.
Yeah, very fun.
You like what I did there? Oh, yeah. So I think we should just go ahead and wrap this thing up. I think that was a good way to do it. Yep. So we want to thank you guys for checking out another episode of The Dogs. Big thank you to Chad for being with us today. That went, you know, that was awesome. That was worth the wait. Remember to drop us a voicemail at thedogspodcast.com in the drop-down menu. Vote for the Browns record. Check out our Patreon. Basically, just go find us somewhere and like us.
Yeah.
For everybody who is a member of the Patreon, we'll see you on the Dogs After Hours show right after this. For everyone else, I hope you guys have a good week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Twitter at The Dogs Podcast, and become an official Dog Pack member and join thedogs.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.